The Doug and Wolf Show.
The next 4 hours of your life will be outstanding wherever you are if you keep listening to The Doug and Wolf Show.
You're calling your shot.
I'm calling my shot on today's show.
Doug Franz, Ron Wolfley.
You know that's good radio.
Oh, yeah.
Doug and Wolf, 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
The three-day weekend is quickly approaching. I don't care that it's Tuesday. We're getting there.
Right.
We're getting there.
How about that, ladies and gentlemen? That's right. Yeah, Quasimodo Wednesday right around the corner, is it not? And then Thursday and Friday, bang the cowbell if you got it. And then suddenly into the three-day weekend. Can you taste that this morning? That is the only question we ask. Good morning, Basinonians. Ron Wolfley and Doug Franz. The Doug and Wolf Show, Savages in the Morning. 13 years of getting up and broadcasting, Douglas. How's it going so far for you? Are you doing okay right now, 13 years?
I will openly admit sometimes I'm like, man, this is early. It starts to get to you a little bit.
13 years, and what is going on right
now?
Tough
without beer.
What is the one thought that you have this morning? As you woke up this morning, Basinonians, what was the one thing in the sports genre, the sports world, that you were thinking to yourself?
If you're legitimately asking, it's Damian Lillard.
Warriors!
Oh, you're thinking about it. See, I always look at the other guys.
That's what I was thinking of right there. Warriors. Come out and play.
I don't know if anybody's actually sat and thought about it, but if you're my age, so if you were a kid that grew up watching 1980s NBA basketball, I was born in the early 70s. I have zero concept other than the video memories or having a father about the Celtics. You know, the amazing stories of Bill Russell up through Havlicek and all that. That was something that
John
is like
Havlicek.
That's like a history lesson to me. You know, that there's no difference with that and then you know, foreign wars and things like that. It's a big history lesson. I bring that up for this reason. The Warriors are going to the fifth straight final, which hasn't happened since those legendary Celtic teams. And when I was growing up, it was like, there's no way this is ever going to happen. There's no way basketball is going to be so, and I thought this as a 20-year-old guy, that basketball is ever going to be so bad that you're going to have one team dominate like that. It's impossible. And yet, we're actually here where you've got the Patriots and the Warriors that are doing things that we would have thought are impossible to do.
They're so tough, Douglas. The Warriors are so tough. They really are. I respect these guys. Ladies and gentlemen, I understand it's a dynasty. I understand how dominant they have been. I know there are people out there that are so tired of the Warriors, and I get that from a player's perspective, a former player's perspective, and that's what I'll always give you, ladies and gentlemen. It doesn't make me right. It just makes it my perspective. As a former player, I have so much respect for what these guys have done.
I don't think...
And how tough they are.
Granted, it hasn't lasted as long. I think Warrior hatred is so far below Patriot hatred.
Oh, yeah.
Because of the cheating. Because of Deflategate and Spygate and how people feel about those events. While with the Warriors, I watch the Warriors and I actually look at it through a Devin Booker filter. And when I say a Devin Booker filter, do I think Devin Booker will ever be as good as Steph Curry? No, I do not. So I'm not necessarily comparing them, but I will compare this. Devin, the way you've been handled is unfair. You were never a point guard, and I think that you are so underappreciated in your own city for you sacrificing to try to be a point guard just to fill in the dysfunction of this organization. But having said that, do you move like Steph Curry? I mean, when you watch a game of Steph Curry, and in the last couple of years, Klay Thompson now does it too, when do you see them rest offensively? When you watch them run, watch when they get rid of the ball, how quickly they go somewhere else to get it back. And then if they don't get it back, there's no little fit that's being thrown for not getting the ball thrown back to them. They move all of the time. How many times have you seen a defensive player against Steph Curry get exhausted running around and think when he got rid of the ball, finally I won.
Sure.
I won. With 8 seconds left on the shot clock, I won because I made Steph Curry get rid of the ball. And who ends up with the last shot? Steph Curry, because you put your hands down for just a second. That's all it took. The man is relentless. So when people say, I hate the Warriors or I'm sick of the Warriors, I struggle with accepting you as a true basketball fan because you're not seeing these things that they do that are relentless.
Yeah, what I see them do as a former player, once again, is how tough they are. And I'm not talking about mental toughness, ladies and gentlemen. Don't be redundant. I'm talking about being tough. And being tough is facing adversity, right? And overcoming adversity. Kevin Durant going down. I said it at the time, and I believe it right now. It may have been the best thing that ever happened to the Warriors. Now all of a sudden you've got all these legendary Warriors, Steph Curry, right? You've got Klay Thompson and Draymond Green, of course, and now Andre Iguodala once again. You've got these guys that are so focused, hyper-focused right now, determined. And you could just see it last night. Killer instinct. These guys are tough.
And before we get into starting five, if this is
bad men,
if this is the easiest time for you to listen, like, you know, between 6 and 6:15, 6 and 6:30, and then, you know, you're going to be nice and not admit it to us, but you're done with the Doug and Wolf show. Find a way to be here. When is this, Maloney? About 7:30 today. At 7:30 today, Frank Caliendo live in studio.
Frankie, that's going to be awesome.
And Frank, highly entertaining, and he's got two shows coming up this Memorial weekend at Cityscape, both Saturday night and Sunday night. So
Frankie's going to come out and play. Is that what you're saying?
No. 7:30? I would never say that.
Frankie, come out and play.
Don't say that.
And now, it's time for your Arizona Sports Starting Five.
Frank, better bring it, Ben.
You can't go to work without knowing these five huge stories.
Better bring it, Frankie.
Here's Doug Franz and Ron Wolfley.
Good morning to everyone, not just Frank.
Number five.
Number five this morning is everything Wolf just talked about. The Portland Trail Blazers up by 13 late in the third. And they decide to set offensive basketball back 40 years and look like a bunch of nut jobs. And Golden State runs them over.
I hope it doesn't go unnoticed or underrated. You know, five straight finals hasn't been done since the 60s, since Bill Russell's Celtics. Hasn't been done for a reason. It's really, really difficult.
Set the table, Steve.
Yeah, he did.
Set the table.
Number four.
Number four, I think that you heard it yesterday. In case you didn't, Magic Johnson says, no, there's not. It's not a terrible dysfunction in the entire front office. It's just Rob. Putting everything on Rob Pelinka, the general manager and former agent of Kobe Bryant. Rob Pelinka got a turn yesterday.
These things are surprising to hear and disheartening, but I look forward to the opportunity to talk with him and sit down with him and work through them, just like in any relationship, because they're just simply not true.
Definition of high road, yet, Rob, the whole Laker Nation is staring at you right now.
I just can't get over the fact that Magic Johnson thought being the president of the Los Angeles Lakers was a part-time gig.
Number three!
Number three is coming up today at 10:30. Monty Williams live press conference. We will air it, and then following the conclusion of the Suns presser, the Suns head coach will join Bickley and Murata for his first conversation as a Suns head coach.
Can't wait for that. That's going to be huge, right? Monty Williams and the Monty Williams era begins.
Number two.
Cliff Kingsbury. You got a lot of veterans in your very first camp as a rookie head coach that said, no, thank you. How much are they missing out?
That's all part of it. I mean, it's voluntary, and we understand that. And so if guys miss, we have a plan to get them caught up.
Do they communicate to you ahead of time?
Yes. Yeah. There's been great communication in that regard.
You know, it wasn't just the Arizona Cardinals, right? I'm wondering if this is not the NFLPA starting to remind the NFL that these are voluntary.
Interesting. More on this as the show unfolds.
Good, because I have a different theory.
Number one.
And the number one thing you need to know about this morning, they're losing again. But there's one guy that's not getting enough credit.
He did everything he could to keep us in this game. And, you know, unfortunately, we just we built a couple of innings and a couple of situations and only scored one run. And that's really the name of the game.
Right now, it's not the Goldie trade that's hurting the Diamondbacks. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Diamondbacks had a game yesterday. Let me play for you their offense.
The 2-2 pitch from Paddock. And a ground ball to second. Not hit hard enough to get two. They get the out at second, not at first. Ahmed crosses the plate. And the Diamondbacks take a 1-0 lead. Well, speed paid off there. Dyson got the down the line.
Yeah, thanks. That's it. There's your offense. Congratulations. You can go home.
That's it, Douglas. That's all you got to say right there.
There's a lot more right there.
I could tell there was something that was lingering, of course, something that was hanging in the air. So what do you say you go ahead and get that off your chest?
I just don't get it. I realize you were going up against potentially, and you know, all due respect to Paddock's career, probably the National League Rookie of the Year. They've never given the award out in mid-May, but we got a long way to go. And with his pitch count, I think he's allowed to throw 8 pitches a game. You don't know. I don't know if he's going to have the pitch count by the end of the year to actually claim the Rookie of the Year award,
yeah,
or if we'll get shut down in August or something like that because we don't raise men anymore. But I look at what's going on here and I say, okay, in the game before that, I think it was a congratulations to go over everybody at the top of the lineup went 0-for-12 combined,
mm-hmm,
in two games ago. In yesterday's game, it was even more entertaining. We have two guys in Ahmed and Marte. They both went 2-for-4. Everybody else combined went 1-for-22.
Oh,
1-for-22.
It's pretty bad.
And then Torrey Lovello, I don't normally get on Torrey that much because I think he's a good manager, but I'm a little confused here. You have different elements of during a season where veterans, fair or not, every man is supposed to come up, show up, do your job, and be ready to play. But over the course of 6 months, there's little things you can do that help motivate guys. And when Adam Jones, and I don't know what the stat is, but is batting about .480 at Petco, and the way he gets jacked up to play at home, because when I say home, that's his hometown, and he's an American League East guy all of his life, and now you got a chance to put him at home. Rest him here. You could have rested him in the 10-game homestand. He's got an off day Thursday. Well, I don't get starting off Monday without a guy who's playing in his hometown who bats great in that park, and you say, you know what, I'm going to give you a rest today.
Yeah.
Has the offense been scoring 11 runs a game in the last 3 weeks that you can say, hey, we're going to rest Adam Jones today? This was one of those games where you kind of look up and down the team, and you just ask the question, what are you doing? Right now, it was like Luke Weaver against the world yesterday.
Luke Weaver was absolute fire, was he not? I mean,
he's fantastic.
He retired 17 of the first 18 hitters he faced, Basinonians. Think about that. Just an excellent outing by a guy that seems to be getting better with each outing. Each time he takes the ball, he seems to go out there and actually outdo the last time he took the ball. And he's had a very, very good run here as of late, right over the last month. These next 10 games could be the harbinger of sorrows for the Diamondbacks or turn them into the harvester of sorrows. These next 10 games. We've been talking about it. Listen. They play 3 division foes. Douglas, you were the one who brought this up yesterday, and it got me thinking. 3 division foes on the road that are all below 500, right?
Amen, Padres, yes.
The Giants, and a 4-game set against the Rockies, and it's May. This was the month that would declare to most of us that whether or not the Diamondbacks were going to be a above 500 team, a contender, be competitive. For the most part, they've played 48 games right now. They're 2 games over 500. I still would call that a surprise to me. It's still a surprise based on April and how difficult I thought that schedule was.
I love focusing on this moment in time because here's such a huge key is the records. You can take a sledgehammer to the three teams that all four teams, now that the Diamondbacks are stinking up the joint, all four teams are looking at the Dodgers saying, I'm the one you have to worry about. And right now, all four of them are wrong. So somebody's going to step up here. And if the Diamondbacks take a sledgehammer to the other three, you got a legitimate team. Mm. Or they are the ones that end up below 500. And in a lot of, I understand if you're a casual baseball fan, you're sitting here thinking, wait, I think the season goes through September. Why are you freaking out about May? And the reason why, number one, is you've already proven you couldn't handle May in 2018. What are you going to do about it now? And number two for me is always the trade deadline. With the trade deadline coming up in July,
sure.
What happens is your team kind of declares who you are right around June 1st, June 10th, as you start approaching the trade deadline. So what are you? That's why this matters, is what are you? Because the trade deadline is where the moment in time where the general manager says, let's buy, let's sell.
For me, May was always going to determine whether or not the Diamondbacks were going to be competitive, whether or not they were going to be buyers, so to speak, at the trade deadline. May was always going to be the determinant there, at least for me, right? 10 more games in May, Basinonians. They've played 48 games so far. They have 10 more in May. Add the two together, and they'll have played 58 games. Ron Wolfley doing math live on the air. That is a large enough sample size to start seeing trends, Basinonians, and making declarations about the possible fortunes of this team. It doesn't make me right. It doesn't. The athletic process will not be affronted. It doesn't mean that they can't overcome all of it. It doesn't mean that they can't have a miracle season. We all understand that. I mean, competition, anything could happen. But when you start putting trends together and start looking at a larger sample size, I think we'd all agree it becomes easier to predict the end and where that end might be and where it might lead. And right now, just looking at it again, I'm not making a prediction, but May was going to go a long, long way as to whether or not the Diamondbacks were going to be competitive, whether or not they were going to be above 500, whether or not they were going to be buyers at the trade deadline as opposed to sellers, right? And that's where I think you've got to focus on, that point right there. You got to focus on the trade deadline, as you pointed out, Douglas, because I think to do anything else, of course, lightning can strike. There's no doubt about it, right? Anything could possibly happen. You could make trades at the trade deadline. You could sell everything off, and suddenly every guy you replaced the guy before, all of a sudden that guy is better, and you actually start winning games again. I will never, ever rule out winning. I'll never rule out winning at all costs, ladies and gentlemen. I'll never rule it out, because you can. If you compete, you have an opportunity to win. But I think it's just percentages that we're talking about now and arguing.
And here's the thing. They're only a game out of the wild card, and I don't think this second wild card is going to run away. There's going to be a nice pack of teams through most of the season. And when you're sitting here in September wondering what just happened, like we all did last year, I think it's going to be, I'm getting worried it's going to be similar to 2018, where we look back at May and we look at May and say May happened. And one of the reasons why is specifically the success of Luke Weaver. Luke Weaver is only 3-3 record wise. And I bring up that stat because there's one stat that most analytics, anybody that's a sabermetrician can't stand more than any other stat, and that's pitching record, because they say it doesn't have anything to do with anything. To me, though, I'm going to use it as a negative, because right now, you remember the terrible Dodger series that will just live in infamy, Dodger Stadium, absolutely, four games to start the year.
What's your point?
Luke Weaver gave up 4 earned runs in that game, and he only pitched 4 innings. He still hasn't had an outing this year that's as bad as that. at all. That's the only outing all year where he gave up four earned runs.
Wow.
He's never had an outing where he gave up more than four, or excuse me, four as being the highest. And most of his outings are one run to two runs. So here you've got a guy that's 3-3 and yet has been doing everything in his power with a 1.06 whip. Sorry to drop a bunch of stats on you, but that means only one guy an inning is getting on base and he's normally not scoring. That's what Luke Weaver is doing, and yet he's only 3-3 with about four no decisions.
Yeah.
Meaning this offense is doing jack when he's getting in there. And if you're dropping the ball on all of these good outings of Luke Weaver, it's you're missing the boat, because now it's the games where it's going to be harder to win. You're not getting done. While this is a game where he's gift wrapping you opportunities, and this offense isn't taking it.
Yeah, to your point right there, the fulcrum point of the game, and there was a fulcrum point for every game. The Padres tried to give the game to the Diamondbacks in the seventh inning last night. The Padres bullpen, think about this, Basin. They threw 12 consecutive pitches out of the strike zone. 12 consecutive pitches out of the strike zone. And the bases were loaded with one out. Dyson struck out, and then Ketel Marte grounded out to Hosmer at first, and that was it. That was their opportunity. Down 2-1 at the time in the seventh, loaded the bases up because the Padres bullpen could not throw a strike. They could not literally throw a strike. And suddenly the bases were loaded. That was the opportunity. That was the fulcrum point of the game. To your point about the offense struggling, it is right now. It's inconsistent, like hit or miss.
Like you said, bases loaded, one out, top of the lineup. Zero runs. Coming up next, Patrick Peterson wasn't at OTAs. A lot of people said expect that. But what's weird is there's a lot of other notable veterans that weren't there. Bruce Arians, head coach, Arizona Cardinals. Everybody was there. Why aren't you there for this rookie head coach? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. It is now my job to put fake media pressure on Cliff Kingsbury to win football games. Because if you're going to be all cliches and boring as can be in every press conference, you got to win.
I love it, Coach.
It's one way or the other. As we're noticing a trend, Paul, I don't know if you've noticed the same thing. If it has to do with the offense, every answer starts with, we'll see. Well, we'll see. Well, you know, we'll see, because we're going to look at, we'll see. If it has to do with something about OTA veterans not being there,
we'll see.
I guarantee at some point he'll use, I would just say at some point, he'll say, I'm going to set the over under at three. I haven't heard this. I'm going to guess the number is three. How many times does he say the word voluntary in 12 seconds? I'm going to guess three. It might only be two. I'm going to go with three.
That's all part of it. I mean, it's voluntary, and we understand that. And so if guys miss, we have a plan to get them caught up.
Do they communicate to you ahead of time?
Yes. Yeah. There's been great communication.
So I was way off. He only said voluntary once. So, but communication is important.
Sure.
So I should set the bar at voluntary and communication.
All right. Now, I want to know when you're going to differentiate between the fake media pressure and real media pressure off the top. So you let me know when it becomes real media pressure. Is that in August or September?
I just care about you either entertaining me when I'm in a press conference or winning. It's one or the other.
Right.
And right now we're 0-0 in winning, and we're about 0-4 in being entertaining during press conferences.
Well, people want all these answers about the offense and what exactly they're going to run, and why in the world would you give that up?
We'll see.
If you're the head coach, why would you possibly undermine a competitive advantage you might have in the opener against the Lions by revealing anything about anything when it comes to your offense?
That was great. That's a different, beautiful part of the program. We're going to be talking about that very thing right there.
We'll
but just looking at it, Basinonians, you could see it. I mean, Cliff did not want to answer and was not going to answer anything about his offense.
Now
and they tried, did they not? All the media scrum was out there, Paulie, and they tried to press him on that. He was not going to answer it.
Why aren't veterans here. Okay, Patrick Peterson, I really have a problem with it because you're letting everybody else there to answer your questions. I don't see how in the world you have a right to be upset at the organization because they didn't help you save money for your cheating. I don't get it. Patrick, get over it. Get in here. But what about everybody else? I mean, there was 100% OTA participation with Bruce Arians. And you're now learning a new offense and a new defense. Every coach here is new, and yet you're not here. There's a lot of veterans not here. Why?
Well, you have Larry going into his 16th season. You have T. Sizzle going into his 17th season. So if the NBA is going to go with that new term, load management, then perhaps the NFL is adopting that. I'm not sure. I'm speculating. We don't have any concrete answer as to why they're not there. As for Pat, he made it known at his charity event on Thursday he would not be in attendance.
Yeah.
Now, as there were some questions as to the nature of the relationship between Pat and the team, and in particular his head coach, as we told you last week, he spent a good half hour chopping it up with Cliff Kingsbury last Thursday evening. So I presume things are good, but I certainly wasn't surprised when Pete Twice wasn't out on that field yesterday.
No.
That was the expectation.
No, I'm not surprised, but no. I don't excuse it. I mean, are you? Does he act like he knows everything Vance Joseph expects of him already? I mean, is he not paid enough? I mean, what stops you from going to work?
I would say this. Now, do you have a new head coach and a new system, and do you need to learn it? Absolutely. And in light of what just happened in a 6-game suspension, do I think he should probably be out there? Yes. However, if there's one spot on that field on either side of the ball that's going to be real easy to play, it's the number one cover corner. Go check that guy.
Especially
travel with that guy.
Yeah,
that translates to any system.
Yeah, you're going to play so much man, right? I mean, that's what he basically is going to do right now. Now, listen, as a former player, it doesn't excuse it, right? But this is the kind of thing that happens right now. Pat P is upset for some reason, and I don't know what it is. I have been told that, yeah, it's not just about the situation with his contract, right? It's not about that. It's not about the Cardinals just restructuring. From what I'm told, and again, I'm not even going to repeat it, and the reason being is because it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. What matters is Pat P appears to be upset. Still has a problem, to me.
And I've said it before, and I'll say it again, the contract thing goes back way further than these recent events.
Yeah, but
to me, it's not even newsworthy, this recent happening, because it goes back a lot farther than that.
Absolutely, Paul. There's no doubt about that. But I think there was a concerted effort as well in the National Football League with the NFLPA to remind the NFL and the franchises thereof that OTAs are voluntary. They are voluntary in nature. Remember how important that was back in the CBA? They mm-hmm. negotiated that mm-hmm. into the CBA. Quality of off-season life is what they negotiated. They did that in the regular season as well with the padded practices and how many padded practices you could actually have. Even in training camp, mitigating how many padded practices you could have in training camp. They went for quality of life, quality of off-season, and I think the NFLPA is trying to use some of its players league-wide. It's going to be interesting to see what happens today to remind teams that this is a voluntary situation, period. Now, as I said, that's not why Pat P, I think,
right,
is missing.
But I would look at guys for the Cardinals that are missing and say listening to the union is voluntary as well. I mean, what makes you a better player with a new head coach and a new defensive coordinator?
Sure.
Everybody's got something to learn here. And what makes you above a Robert Alford who knew, hey, I need to be here, and some of the other new guys? I mean, are we really looking at Brooks Reed as being a more important leader than Terrell Suggs?
No, I'm just saying, look at who missed. I mean, Larry Fitzgerald,
yes, yes.
T. Suggs, right, David Johnson.
Yes.
Do you see a trend?
Yes, I do.
Do you see a trend with Pat
now,
P there? It's like with the Rams, Marcus Peters, Dante Fowler, Aqib Talib, Todd Gurley, all missed. It's just, to me, yeah. I'm wondering, is this something we're going to see more of?
Now, I can understand with Aqib Talib, because after his stellar December and playoff, he has nothing to work on. He needs to stay away right now.
Well, maybe it's a half dozen Pro Bowls, and then you get to miss OTAs. Perhaps that's the criteria.
Yeah. It's Ticket Window Tuesday, presented by Arizona Central Credit Union. You'll have a chance to win a pair of tickets to see the Dave Matthews Band at Auction Pavilion on September 13th. Just listen at 7:15, 10:15, 12:15, and 4:15 for your chance to be a winner. Coming up next, today at 10:30, we'll be carrying it live. The Monty Williams press conference, where we get to know the newest head coach of the Phoenix Suns. What do we want to hear? For me, I'd like to know, why do you think you'll be employed 12 months from now? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. It is the great unknown. I think the Phoenix Suns totally have it right with Monty Williams and the new threesome that's in charge, the three-headed monster of the Phoenix Suns. Now, the question is, in the great unknown, will Robert Sarver just let them go? Just let them do their job? And not just now. I think it's easy. Yes, Jeff Bauer will have the freedom to do his job. James Jones will have the freedom to do his job. I have no doubt in my mind they will have the freedom to do their job for the next 6 months. The question is, what happens if they get off to a slow start? You know, what's going to happen? But Monty Williams meets the media today at 10:30, and we've got a lot going on here at 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station, as at 10 o'clock, the Doug and Wolf Show ends, and we become the only broadcast entity here in the state that's live from OTAs, as Bickley and Murata will be at Cardinals headquarters. But at 10:30, we throw it from Cardinals headquarters downtown to the arena, and then the Phoenix Suns will have a press conference announcing Monty Williams. And I'm, of course, vitally interested in what Monty Williams is going to say today. And we all realize, I think a lot of us are smart enough as fans, winning the press conference doesn't matter, but I would like to see...
I thought you were going to say, but it does matter.
I would like to see him not send messages to us, the fans. I don't care whether you make the fans happy today. I do want to hear what you're going to say about DeAndre Ayton. What you're going to say about Josh Jackson.
That would be my first question.
What you're going to say about the discipline of this team going forward.
You had me at DeAndre Ayton. That would be my first question right there. Honestly, Basinonians, have you talked to DeAndre Ayton yet, Monty Williams? Have you talked to DeAndre Ayton yet?
Can I get more specific? I want to say, Monty, do you think DeAndre Ayton plays hard?
Okay.
I want it, but very open-ended. I want his opinion. And if he's, because we know anybody who's intelligent knows the answer is not hard enough. But is he going to have the courage to say it in a presser? Or is he going to say, no, we need to back off of DeAndre. Let him learn he's a young guy.
I think that DeAndre Ayton thinks he plays hard.
I do too.
I think DeAndre Ayton believes, Basinonians, that he does indeed play hard. And there's been a lot of guys that I played with that they'd swear they played hard and they were not playing hard, period. There's a lot of guys who don't see it themselves. They think they're out there busting it because they don't know where the ceiling is. They don't. This is one of the things we were talking about this, and we talked about it for years with Bruce Arians. BA was so good at raising the bar and raising the ceiling, the bar and ceiling of expectation. That's what he did, and he challenged players to do it.
And the ceiling was the roof.
And then it was through the roof is what you were going to do. DeAndre needs to understand there is a ceiling. You got to go find it. You got to find where that ceiling is, because right now it's not where you think it is, because you think, oh yeah, I'm doing everything I possibly can. I'm busting my can out there, when you really have no idea what you're doing. You're not busting your can. You're not busting through the roof or the ceiling. They got to show him that. Monty Williams has got to show DeAndre Ayton his ceiling is way low if he thinks he's busting his can right now. That's huge. That's coaching. That is coaching right there. To allow a guy to see, hey, listen, you think you're doing it? You think you're giving it? You're not. You're not. Here, let me show you where you can actually do better in terms of effort. And now all of a sudden, the guy see, oh, yeah, oh, he understands. That's what coaches do.
They reach you first, and then they teach you. That's what they're supposed to do.
Is that your new phrase? Reach them and teach
reach them and teach them, man. Yeah, I mean, well it's done. Not a new phrase. It's been out there for a long time.
You just invented it.
You got to reach them before you teach them.
If you were watching the Portland and Golden State game last night, the broadcasters, the TV broadcasters, spent quite a spent about 2 minutes highlighting John Barry on the sidelines.
JB.
Doing the game for ESPN Radio.
Tesla and Buckhead.
John Barry joined us on May 7th, and when he joined us on May 7th, we asked him about Monty Williams. What do you like? Do you believe in this? Is this a good hire?
I don't think there's any question that that's what he's going to do. There's no doubt in my mind, and I think there's no doubt in my mind that Devin Booker just wants to win. Mm-hmm. I mean, he put up 70 in a game. Mm-hmm. He's putting up I think he did. He have a 60-point game this year.
No,
I mean, we know how good you are, but no one knows you because you guys have won around 20 games a year, yeah. And he understands that it's about winning. And I'm just telling you, man, Monty Williams is a special guy.
Now, the reason why I yelled no is because he asked us, did he score a 60-point game? And I said yes. And then I forgot Jimmer got happy and took too many shots, and he ended up with 59 points. But that's John Barry talking about what Monty brings to the table. It's a great hire. You should be mostly excited as long as the players are coached by coaches and not by owners.
I think I'm really, really excited. Speaking of that word, excited, I'm excited for DeAndre Ayton because I do believe Monty Williams is going to hold him accountable. I do believe that Monty Williams is going to have the floor cred, if you will, to actually reach DeAndre Ayton and then be able to teach him. And not only that, it's also Josh Jackson as well, isn't it? Just the fact that I think Monty Williams is going to have a positive impact on Josh Jackson. And by the way, I think he's going to have a huge impact on Devin Booker as well. Not that Devin Booker needs it. This though, the current leadership right now, when you've got Jeff Bauer in the front office, you got James Jones, and then you got Monty Williams right now, I think for the first time offers the most stability that Devin Booker has ever seen.
It just looks like a professional organization now. Now what's going to happen about it? Again, Bickley and Murata live, Cardinals headquarters, the only broadcast station that will be live from Cardinals OTAs, yet you'll still get every ounce of the press coverage that you need to hear at 10:30 live from the arena when the Suns introduce Monty Williams as their next head coach.
Jimmer!
Yesterday, ESPN First Take, the Hall of Famer Magic Johnson.
And then I start hearing, Magic, you're not working hard enough. Magic's not in the office. So people around the Laker office was telling me, Rob was saying things. And
Rob Pelinka.
And I didn't like those things being said behind my back that I wasn't in the office enough and so on and on.
So I'm sure it was a lot of people, right, Magic? I mean, everybody's then started taking jabs at you?
No, just Rob. Oh. I was going to help elevate him to the president's position. And so when all this was coming back to me and guys calling me saying, you better watch out for him. And then what was crazy was when I took the job, you know how many agents called me and said, you got to watch out for him.
So
Wait a minute.
It's all about Rob Pelinka.
Just wait a minute right now. I mean, first of all, Stephen A., get off the microphone. That's number one, right? Back off the mic. That's number one. Number two, did he just really say that right there? I mean, why, you're the team president. Why didn't you fire Rob Pelinka? I'm just wondering. Wait a minute here. What am I missing?
Well, that's kind of funny you say that because Rob Pelinka, during the Frank Vogel introductory presser, because they after all this happened, yesterday was the day they finally got around to introducing Frank Vogel as the head coach.
Yes.
So you can imagine Rob Pelinka got asked a lot of questions, and he said, why did Magic start firing people or do this or do that? Well, Pelinka said,
the way that it was structured when Magic was here is he had ultimate basketball decision-making authority. That's the way that Genie wanted it structured the way he did as well. But again, it was similar to what it is now. There was collaboration around those decisions with the staff, and then he ultimately made the final choice on basketball matters.
So if you're right, if Rob's right, Magic could have fired Rob, technically.
Yeah. What is going on with that? This is my biggest question. Magic Johnson, you heard that your general manager was saying you weren't working at your job? Why didn't you fire him?
because maybe he was right? I'm just saying.
Well,
what is going on with the structure there? Why did he not walk into Rob Pelinka and say, "Hey, Rob, what is this bull I'm hearing out here?" Oh, yeah, that's what you're saying about? Oh, yeah! Fired! Right? What is Magic doing? I don't understand.
Yeah! Fire!
I admit I couldn't remember where that was from.
I mean, it's just so, we need to talk about this more because this just smells so badly, ladies and gentlemen.
In the next hour, we got tickets to Dave Matthews Band to give away, yeah. And we also have Frank Caliendo live in studio from 7:30 to 8. Up next, it was the Cardinals' biggest weakness last season, and yet some people say it will be their biggest strength this year. Do you believe? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.